What's going on, guys? Lose Log episode 5. Today I got a great guest, my guy Kai. He's one of the good people in MMA Twitter. There are very, very few. You can find him at KIROSMMA on Twitter and YouTube. He's got a great YouTube channel. Guy does not miss a fight, does not miss a fight night. What's going on, my guy? Nice to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me on, sir. I appreciate you. I'm doing well.
Let's get it, baby. So what'd you think of Cowboy Gaethje? What was going on there? Did it go how you expected?
I thought it was going to go on to like round 3 or 4, and I thought Gaethje would TKO him then. I did not expect it to go down in the first round like that. I was shocked.
Yeah, same. You know what? And I feel like we shouldn't have been, just because it was like the most cowboy thing ever. As much as I love Cowboy, it just was like it reminded me a lot of kind of the RDA fight where he just put work going and he just looked a little slow and a little stiff. Did you see the same thing?
Yeah, I had the flashback as soon as he hit the ground. I was like, this is just how RDA went. I didn't think it was going to happen like that, though, but I was just like, wow, I got that flashback when I was watching.
Same. I thought he would incorporate the wrestling a little more, and I heard Gaethje say after that his coach said, as soon as he puts that foot on the ground, just move. So he can't ever set up those kicks. He can't ever set up that jab. But yeah, dude, Gaethje looked great, man. What do you think about him just on this 3-fight win streak? All first round KOs, TKOs, but same thing.
But even if you look back at his previous fights before he got into the UFC, I don't think too many people were predicting him to go on a streak like this. I think after the Poirier and I think after the Eddie Alvarez fight, a lot of people were counting him out. And I'm not going to lie, for a second, I was just like, man, maybe he can't continue fighting like this. But between those training camps, before Jane Vick and before Edson Barbosa, something must have changed, because he's just starching people. He's not absorbing damage, and his game plan isn't methodical. He's still doing what he's doing. He's just protecting himself a lot better. So I don't know what he's on. Maybe he's doing crack now, but it's impressive.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. Like I tweeted this last night. It's like day and night. It's like day and night. He went from a guy who takes too much damage to a guy who barely takes any at all. And, like, it's like, how does that happen? It's like if Kevin Lee just all of a sudden had a good gas tank. As much as I love my – you know what I mean?
It's that training camp.
It matters. Yeah. It really does matter. And now that that's kind of in the books, who's next for both guys? I just want to see Cowboy take time off, and I want to see Gaethje do the same. How do you feel?
Listen, I absolutely agree. I'm sick of people trying to push people back into the fire after they just got done doing stuff. People don't realize most of the damage that you accumulate over your fighting career is from training camps, if you grind. Fighting's only one night for these guys, and you're only fighting for 25 minutes max. The training camps, especially for 5-round training camps, wear and tear on you over time, and it accumulates and adds on to your career and, like, ruins your longevity. So as far as waiting, yes, I agree for both fighters. And then after they come off, the only fight I want to see Gaethje fight is the Tony Khabib winner. And I want Cowboy to take a step back and stop fighting such, like, great talents. Not such great talents. I mean, as top-tier talents as far as rankings are concerned. I think he should fight Pettis again. Or I think he should go after Kevin Lee, like I said. Since Kevin Lee's coming back to 155, I love both fighters. I want to see that. And I think he should rematch Pettis, man. Pettis after USADA is a little bit different. I'm not saying, like, he was using stuff, but I'm just calling it how I see it, man. Pettis, post-Pettis USADA is different.
I like those a lot. I like that match being right there, my guy. I did not think of the Kevin Lee one. That's a good fight to get him acclimated in the division. It'll test his striking a lot. And I like the Pettis fight. I do like that. Is there any thought you want to see Cowboy go to 170? It crossed my mind for a minute.
I mean, he had success there, but I think it was because of the specific, like, body types. Like, Matt Brown was one of the taller people he faced, and you saw he had to grind that win out. When I see the top of that division, you got guys like Santiago Ponzinibbio, massive dude. You got, like, you just got these massive fighters at 170. Mm-hmm. Probably should be fighting at 185, but you got massive guys in that division too. I don't think so. I felt the same way about Pettis fighting at 170, and I still feel the same way about Nate fighting at 170. Sure, Nate's tall. Sure, he can take a shot, but when those boys are cracking up there, like in prison, they call that the heavy hitter zone. That's the heavy hitter zone. You don't do that, man. Go back to 155.
I agree with you. I agree. And I like what you said about the Gaethje thing. I'm one of those people that I do not want to see McGregor fight him. I'm a McGregor fan. He's not one of my like favorite upper echelon. He's not like Tony for me. Tony's my guy. But I don't know. I want to see the McGregor Poirier over that. It's just there's beef there. I know you can do the Gaethje fight after, but I feel like Gaethje's earned that title fight. And I'd be a hypocrite to say Tony has to get that fight. And then, oh, wait, Gaethje deserves so-and-so. You know what I mean?
I completely agree with that, man. Completely.
Yeah, and it's just weird. The division's in a weird spot. It's like you have guys in line, but will they get that shot? So, I mean, we'll see. But as a whole, what did you think of the card? I thought it was pretty good. It had some really exciting moments.
There were some people who surprised me. Like, I thought Louis Smoker was going to have a little bit of success at 135 and then just go back down to 125. The guy was too huge for 125, but I was just like, I don't know if he can contend with these guys. But he showed out. He had, like, the TKO in the first round against Ryan McDonald. I thought he was ultra-impressive. Miles Johns, he's from Fortis MMA. He was pretty decent, too. I felt like he gassed out like Yoel. He's like a mini Yoel Romero, but, like, keep that under control. Sakai, he looked great, too, but two people who I really want to talk about is Uriah Hall.
I'm glad you said that.
He loves ruining people's bets and parlays. I said this before the fight happened. I was like, do not bet against Uriah Hall. He doesn't lose when he's supposed to. The guy beat Gego Mousasi, for goodness sake. So I was like, don't vote against Hall. And then Tristan Connolly, too, man. He's a hero. The black community has adopted him after that fight. It's over.
Like, I saw that.
He's with us now.
Oh, man, that's funny. And I saw you told Fighting With Myself, that guy's podcast. I like his stuff, too, the guy over in England. You sent him that picture of your face when Uriah. I do another podcast called The MMA Countdown with one of my best friends. And I said Antonio Carlos Jr. I said, I think he's putting Hall out. I said, I really like him. I said, I think Uriah's on the downslide. And he completely proved me wrong. He looked rejuvenated. He looks ready to go five rounds if needed be. And he's just a tough dude. I felt like if he wasn't just getting dragged down and had Carlos, like, just draped over him and, like, holding him down, I think he would have easily won that as a unanimous decision.
Oh, 110%, yeah. The whole reason why I was arguing that he didn't – not didn't win, but the whole reason why I was like, man, he might not win this fight on the cards is because Carlos was holding him down. But I was like, he wasn't doing anything with the position. He wasn't dealing damage. He wasn't really chaining together submissions or trying to forward his position. So I was like, hopefully he won.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where it was like a – I'm not going to say like a Mike Perry Luque, but where it's so close that you're like, the guy who did more damage should probably win this one. But again, anything that's that close, I don't complain about. Like, I saw people, I got into an argument on Twitter the other day. Some guy was like, Perry beat Luque and there's no argument. And I was like, well, I was like, he kind of won. And like, it was close. Like, his face was busted. Like, it's not like Perry walked out like without a scratch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And you people are careful. Just funny. Yeah, it is. And people are just funny. Every split decision's a robbery and every close fight's a robbery. I just can't. I'm not in for that. But let's just jump right. We were talking about lightweight. So Tony Khabib, your initial thoughts, just on the whole fight and, them two as competitors, how do you see that going and how excited are you for it?
Well, I've been watching Khabib for a little bit of time now. I'd say I started watching when he started getting notoriety from pulling out of fights a lot. So I'm going to be honest. That's when I first started watching him. I was like, who is this guy? What is he doing? But, I think in order to beat an intelligent, like, he's not just some grimy wrestler who just out-muscles you. He's an intelligent guy. He's going to weasel you into thinking you're going to play his game, and then he's going to take the upper hand and get you down. I think to beat a guy like Khabib, you have to possess these five skills. I don't know if you have to possess all of them, but a majority of them. You have to have incredibly great cardio and the ability to push that pace with that cardio. You have to have an answer when you're on your back, because you're going to get on your back. There's no way you're not getting taken down by Khabib. Mm-hmm. You have to have lengthy strike where you're able to strike from range as well as strike within like clinch and grappling situations. You can't just say, all right, I'm gonna keep him at distance, because you're not gonna keep him at distance for 25 minutes. That's just too much to ask of anybody.
Impossible.
Yeah, impossible. You have to also have submissions or even sweeps to create scrambles off your back as well. And then I think the last thing is you have to have grit. Like, when you were into that fourth and fifth round, you're bloodied, you're beaten up. He's probably a little bit tired. He's probably a little bit beaten up. You have to have that heart to say, good, now it's time to push more. And Tony exemplifies all of those characteristics, mm-hmm. man. It is bred in his DNA. That's why I've been waiting for this fight for 5 years or however long it's been.
Too long, bro. It's been too long. And I think people just really – I hate when people use the argument, oh, well, Tony, like the Cowboy fight was close and the Pettis fight was close. It's like, were they really? Like, if both of those fights had gone another round, he was finishing both of them. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. It was happening. And with Khabib, listen, it's the perfect matchup. Like you said, you have to know you're getting taken down and not – and you have to have somebody that's going to keep pushing at Khabib, even with the fear of being taken down. Like, we saw Dustin hesitate because he was afraid of being taken down and didn't want to go straight forward. But Tony gives no Fs. He gives no Fs, dude. He does not care.
And he's lethal at everything he does. I feel like the perfect word for Tony Ferguson is just lethal. There's nothing he does badly. Nothing. He even absorbs damage well.
And he rolls with punches. People are like, oh, he gets rocked a little bit, and then it's like, he does, but like, do you see him recover? He's been rocked by just about everybody.
For real, though.
And he's in his prime, and he's hungry, and he's wanted this more than anything. And I'm not saying I would be scared if I was Khabib, but you have to train different for this man. You gotta train different. If we've never seen Khabib, I'm gonna say this: the way I see it going. Is Khabib wins the first two rounds. It reminds me a lot of the Kevin Lee fight. But as those elbows from the bone wear down and they wear you down, we've never seen Khabib in the shit like that. I'm not saying he can't do it, but it's going to take a toll on him. He won't be the same guy in round 4 and 5 as he is in 1, 2, and 3 after taking that much damage. Like, Tony's cutting him up. He's going to be the first man to bloody him and the first man to really bruise him up. I believe that.
110%. Like, I'm not trying to, like, knock Khabib because he's had an impressive career. He's done a lot. But let me just start off with saying this. A lot of people don't understand this. Like, his first 12 fights are with people who don't even have Wikipedia pages, first and foremost. Secondly, he has fight. There are certain matchups. I'm not saying these fighters are necessarily the best fighters in the division. But because of the skill set they possess, they are going to be tough matchups for Khabib. And I might get a lot of hate or I might get a lot of love for this, but Nate Diaz exemplifies a similar matchup problem for him.
Absolutely.
He has answers for he has the cardio, he has the boxing, he has the striking, he has answers off of his back. He can create scrambles and he has length. Same with Tony. I think those two would be similar matchups outcomes for Khabib. So if he beats Tony, he would be able to beat Nate, and vice versa, I think. But if he can't beat one of them, I think the other one would also be able to beat him.
And do you see Gaethje as that kind of threat as well, or is he not as polished off the back, do you believe?
To be honest, I don't know. Like, I believe Gaethje could starch any person on the planet right now. I think he could look at my chin and I'd fall over. But, like, I don't know. There's not enough sample size. He's knocking everybody out. So I don't know how good he is off his back or if he can scratch. I don't know. I want to see it, but I don't know.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's, again, like, I agree with you on the matchup thing because, like, but then people say, like, oh, well, like, he's fought in good guys. It's like, yes, but, like, what has Edson Barboza done against wrestlers notoriously? Lose.
Exactly. IDK,
lose. Michael Johnson, lose. Versus wrestlers. And I'm a big Michael Johnson guy. But, I just see it as – it's not that he's had favorable matchups. They just haven't given him a dangerous matchup yet.
Agreed.
And I feel like, especially versus Nate, Nate's a 170 guy. How strong is Nate? Khabib might get those hooks in. And Nate might be able to just not push him off, but he might put up a lot better fight up against the cage than we've seen.
His strength's underrated, for real. I've seen him pin people up against the cage when he gets them that clinch spot, and they don't move. Like, he's not weak.
Hell no. And how would you feel if for UFC 245, are you all in on a big lightweight fiasco for the card? Felder, Poirier, Gaethje, Barboza, Crazy Now. Are you all in on that? Because I am so in on that.
I would love it. I mean, I absolutely want to see that. The downside of that is what after that fight, you got a whole bunch of lightweights who are inactive now. You got to wait a little bit of time to see some more action. But I want to see it 110%. I want to see it. It should happen. Will it happen? Probably not, though, because everyone's coming off of fights. Everyone's trying to negotiate stuff. Like, I want to see it, though. I want to see it.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. And just one quick last thing. So, I know McGregor is the biggest star ever in the sport, so I always get to talk about him, even a little. Who should he fight, and who do you want to see him fight?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. As far as who he should fight, that Poirier matchup is excellent. That Poirier matchup's just tailor-made for him. They got history. They're both going to stand up and strike. They're both exciting people. People love both of them for completely different reasons. They exemplify two extremes. So why not? It's going to sell well. People are going to identify. You're going to like rip the world apart with the good guy versus the bad guy. And people love that. But as far as who I think he should fight, you got to give him that RDA fight. And here's why. RDA needs to come back to 155 pounds.
Agreed.
We have seen him hit the door. Like, this is as far as this man can go, which is interim title fights and like top three to top five in the world guys. He needs to come back to 155 pounds, get a dietitian. They have great history too. You could play the press conference with them talking to each other. They've got great styles too. Those two guys are not going to have a boring fight with each other. It's just not going to be boring at all. That fight is something I don't think anyone wants to talk about, but it needs to happen. That RDA McGregor fight would be incredible.
Wow, I like that a lot. Wow. That's in the same category for me as the Aldo rematch. I know there's nowhere to go for McGregor with that. He doesn't gain anything.
Yeah.
Because he did it. It's like the same thing with DC and Stipe too. How could he have done it better? You know what I mean? He sparked the man. You sparked them. What do you want him to do? Go all five and dominate for all five and hope Jose doesn't quit in five rounds? It's just not going to happen. So I want to see – maybe I would – this is going to sound crazy and like a Fabro-McGregor matchup. If it's not Poirier, I want to see him fight Frankie Edgar just to get that out of the way. Give Frankie his money fight. Get McGregor back on the board. Test him versus a little bit of a wrestler. Just coming back, see how he can do with that. And then maybe see if Max wants to go back to 55 and he can run that back with him. I'm even in for that.
He's got options, obviously. Like, isn't Edgar moving down to 135, or did he decide to stay at 145?
He said he's going to 135, but he said if McGregor will fight him, he said he'll go to 155.
Oh, okay. Well, then, all right. Listen, I'm not mad at that fight either. I was like, when McGregor was on his rise, granted, I was one of the biggest fans ever, but his recent actions and his antics, it's kind of pushed me away, but I don't hate the guy. I'm just not as big of a fan. But I was saying, I was like, if he runs into Frank Yeager right now, I don't see him winning that fight, man. Like, everyone's like, Kairos, really? You're an idiot. This is like early days of MMA Twitter when people were just talking trash and like cursing you out and like using racial slurs. They're like, you're an idiot. Frank Yeager's going to get KO'd in one. I'm like, have you seen a Frank Yeager fight? You know the skills he possesses.
Literally, it took one, not lucky, but it took a very, very good and clean uppercut from a guy who was much bigger than him to finally put him out. You know what I mean? It's not an easy task. Not an easy task at all.
And he wasn't expecting that strike from that type of opponent, too. That's what made it so special. Like, whoa, Ortega flipped the script. You don't expect somebody to do that with his skill set.
Absolutely. That was a complete shock for me. I thought Ortega was going to win, but I thought via rear naked choke or something along that line. But we're definitely on the same page. I'm not a big fan. I'm not big on politics, and I'm not big on what people do outside of the action. Like, athletes for me, is as messed up as this sounds, they're pure entertainment, and they do a service for me that I love. So whatever they want to do in their personal life, like John Jones is the GOAT in my eyes, and no one will ever be better than that man, hands down. I don't care if he does dick pills. I don't care if he's a blowhead. You know what I mean? I really don't care.
Agreed.
Same thing. Like if you really want to get into it, then we can't have Anderson in the GOAT conversation. We can't have GSP because he was greasing. You know what I mean? If you really want to be picking things apart, you could get into that all day, and you end up with Mighty Mouse as the GOAT, which I'm not a GOAT. But like, come on, man. You know what I mean?
Dude, you got to be careful, man. You're going against the gospel by saying this stuff. I'm cool. I can rock with you. I'm just saying, when other people hear this, they might come after you.
That's cool, dude. MMA, listen, you know how it is. Everybody on MMA Twitter is just, if you don't like, it's the McGregor stands, the Khabib stands, and then there's people who are all jiu-jitsu, all wrestling, and like, all. Yes. Like, I love Mike Mouse. I love Joe Rogan. But come on now. We got to be serious. We got to be awesome. Like, strength of schedule matters. You know what I'm saying?
It really does. The most important thing.
Absolutely. And it's, and again, it's not DJ's fault, but when you, if you talk pound for pound, he's there. But when you talk just straight goats, he's in my top five. But listen, you know who might be up there one day? And I'm telling you this now, dude. Triple C. I am so in on Triple C.
Yes!
No idea.
There's a few players. There's two people in my mind right now. I'm thinking, all right, 5 years down the line, maybe a little bit longer, these two people are going to be in the GOAT conversation, whether people like it or not. It's him and I think Amanda Nunes. People are sleeping on her because she's a woman. And they're like, oh, well, women can't be on the pound-for-pound list. I'm like, if that's your argument, fine, fair enough. More power to you. But if that's not, you can't deny Amanda Nunes' body of work up until this point. And Henry Cejudo, if he keeps sparking people, which is going to be hard at 135, at 125, absolutely, he can hold that. 135, it's going to be harder. But if he keeps winning, you can't deny that, man.
Oh, you can't at all. I agree with you on Nunes. It's not even like DJ did it through five rounds, and he was – like, the Ray Borg submission is the greatest submission ever. I won't hear anything else. But just to – like, after Cejudo's last fight, he was down in the fight. He came in injured. His first real 135 fight.
Yes.
And he looked that good. He loses the first two rounds and then comes back and – knocks out or TKOs Marlon Moraes, who's an absolute Swiss Army knife. Come on, man. Give my man his due. Bend the knee. That's it.
Yes, bro. People, I cannot stand this entire trend as far as cancel culture, as far as you're cringeworthy. It's almost like you're discrediting someone's achievements and abilities just because you don't like who they are. If having that mentality to push you that further in your career, being a double champion, defending both belts, being an Olympic gold medalist makes you cringy, I'm cringy because I want that. I want success in my life. I want to be driven.
Bro, and they don't get that. It's the same thing with Colby. And I know people don't like Colby because he makes some controversial comments. To me, I don't get offended by nothing besides like racial slurs. And I just feel like people don't understand. These are characters. These are characters. Yes. That's like when people were trying to fight Chael Sonnen in Brazil. It's like, dude, this guy. He's whispering to people in the back, like, I'm gonna say this, this, and this, and you know what I mean? It's all a work. Just buy in. It's fun. Maybe Colby's not fun. I get that. He might take it over the line. But Cejudo's fun. Chael was fun. You know what I mean? Get into it.
Yeah, and to give Colby his credit, man, I went back and started watching previous interviews because I always do that. Whenever I see a fighter gaining steam, I always go back, see what they said, see how they felt, and then I compare it to where they are now and see the trajectory. Colby was going to get cut from UFC, and he was on like a 5-fight winning streak. They told him no matter how he beats Dongyoung Kim, they are going to cut him no matter what. And he was the nice guy, Colby. But as soon as he started talking that smack, started talking trash, hyping up his fights, what did the UFC do? Resign him, give him an interim title fight. It's like, bro, how can you get mad at someone for trying to protect the longevity of their career? It's my financial future. I'm going to do what I have to do to make it.
Absolutely, dude. And it's like, again, like, he don't care about people on Twitter. It's like, dude, I'm going to do me. And you can't tell another man how to make his money. That's one thing I firmly believe. You cannot. Yes. And if he doesn't do it, and he, again, he's not an exciting fighter. What do you want him to do? It's the Chael Sonnen thing. Take it to the next level.
It's like that Tupac line. It's like, but you did it in a sleazy way. But I got to get paid, man. You got to get paid.
And also, I did not know about that Dongyoung Kim thing that you just said. I like that. That's new info to me.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I don't know if it was Dana who told him or if he maybe told somebody else to tell him. But he basically was like, they told me they were going to cut me no matter what. I was like, dang, I would do the same thing, man.
Oh, dude, listen, I'm not a Trump person, dude, but I'll throw that MAGA hat on sideways. You know what I'm saying?
As a black man, I might do it too. If that's going to save my career, let's go.
Hey, if they're dropping $300K in front of me and they're like, main event, I'm like, wait a minute, MAGA, let's go.
Like, after the fact, I'll be like, listen, I was just doing what I had to do, but in the moment, I'm going to rep it till I die. Yeah.
That's the hardest part, though, is not coming out and saying it's a work. Like, even on Schaub's food truck, he wouldn't say it was a work.
Yes.
Which I respect. I respect it. But it's tough, dude. After you got these, not prostitutes, but damn models he's paying. Yo, he's legit paying girls saying he gets blamed. Bro, it's hilarious.
It is funny, man. I respect what he's doing. 100. Like, how can you not respect someone who's doing what he's doing? Like, people were, there was so much pushback when McGregor was on the rise, and then when he got there, everybody loved him and no one hated him. And then when he declined, everyone went back to hate him. People were so wishy-washy with this stuff. When Colby makes it, and he, well, if he makes, I don't know if he's going to win, like, against Usman and Bubba. Assuming he does, though, people are going to take notice when he starts defending that title, because he has all the ability in the world to do so. And they're going to jump on the ship eventually.
Oh, absolutely. I think outside of, I think Masvidal is a bad matchup for him, but outside of that, I don't see anybody in that division who really gives him problems. I really don't. Usman, obviously, same guy.
It's funny that you mentioned Masvidal, because every time I went back and I saw, like, clips, I would see Colby just wrestling the life out of Masvidal. So that's why I always thought, man, if they fight each other, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's the old Masvidal, though. That's not like Street Jesus Saves Masvidal, but like, dang.
Like, no. That's funny, man. And one more thing. Ben Askren, Maya, I know that's not too I know that's a little far down the road, but how are you even excited for that? I am. I'll watch Ben Askren fight a broomstick. But do you think that'll be one of the lesser watched events just because of the matchup?
As far as watched and tell, yeah, 110%. Because people are – we're in an era where people just have this microwave mentality where I want my action now and I want it subsidized the way that I want it. I want to see the fight. I want to see who's the best grappler. I'm interested in that, but you got all these let me bang bro guys out here and stand them up. Like, it's mixed martial arts, fellas. You have to mix it up. Why are we like – when you watch two stand-up fighters not grapple at all for an entire fight, no one's saying put them on the ground. So why are we saying stand them up when they're on the ground? Like, come on.
Oh, that's my biggest pet peeve. Unless you're really going to stand them up. Like, there's some situations where I'm like, okay, you got to stand them up.
But 110%, like, absolutely.
Yeah, like, there are some barely ones. But yeah, I'm absolutely interested in it. Again, UFC doesn't care about numbers now, so great. I just want to see Ben Askren get a good win. I know we all do. And hopefully that happens. And I got to cut this off, man, but it was so good talking to you. I need to get you on here again. Follow my guy at KAIROSMMA on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
And on YouTube. Am I missing out on any social medias? Anything you want to say?
Just those two. I don't want anybody else getting anything else. Thank you, brother.
Hey, I'll talk to you on Twitter, my guy. Have a great one. Thank you.
You as well.
Peace out, dog. Thanks for listening, everybody.